Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. You need to know one thing before the next interview. Winnebago is a kind of camper van on steroids. And one of a crop of documentaries in this year's film festivals, Winnebago Man, tells the story of one salesman's accidental fame. Ben Steinbauer, the film's director, is with us now.
My introduction to Jack Remney came in the form of a VHS tape. A bootleg compilation of outtakes from a Winnebago sales video made in 1989.
The Winnebago Concepts and Engineering Departments have developed a multifunctional bathroom. Privacy, I don't even know what the f*** I'm reading. I wonder what the f*** the real dialogue is. What the f*** is this thing? All of the windshield, for f*** sake. Oh, f***. What? What the f*** did I say? That didn't sound for s***, did it?
I was immediately mesmerized. I played it over and over again. Who was this guy? And where did this come from? I decided to find out.
Well, Ben, I actually want to start with a phrase that I picked up from one of the blurbs about the film, which I think is a really interesting idea, the phrase entertainment without consent, which is basically how this film started out, wasn't it? There were these outtakes of Winnebago Man that became a YouTube hit without his knowledge.
Absolutely. And we, you know, the way that I've always made sense of it and described it is that it's an unintended notoriety or unwanted celebrity. You know, he was somebody who was making a commercial 20 years ago that was a tape, a teaching tool for salesmen who were then going to go out and sell an 89 model Winnebago to somebody. So even the finished product was really only supposed to be viewed by salesmen at a Winnebago dealership. So the fact that the outtakes have now been spread all across the globe and millions of people have seen, I mean, these are things that were never intended for anybody's eyes, you know. So And Jack, our main character, is in his late 70s and was a TV news producer in the 40s and 50s, you know, before there was videotape widely used. And the fact that this can now be uploaded and seen all over the world is something sort of almost like science fiction to him, you know. And that's really what I was interested in. I was attracted by this idea that you can become famous for something that you're embarrassed of and have no control over, you know, especially now that we're in this sort of Google based universe. You know, you can always be known as the Star Wars kid or Miss Teen South Carolina or whatever, you know, and you can't get out from under that. So I was interested in that idea. But then when I found Jack, who, you know, just so happened to be the star of one of my favorite viral videos, and realize that he's not a child of the internet age, that he became this really interesting prism through which to look at this new technological advance.
Well, was he aware of who he'd become, that he'd become Winnebago Man on YouTube?
No, he wasn't. I mean, I don't want to give too much away because there's a lot in the film. The first 20 minutes or so is my search for him, but really the story becomes about him accepting this place in the world, you know, this strange, unwanted notoriety that he's received and coming to terms with it mentally. I think it applies universally to become something about being comfortable in your own skin, you know, maybe being comfortable with the way other people see you and finding some sort of satisfaction in that.
Is there also something there of ordinary rank and file people having stories to tell? Because I actually enjoy that particular genre of American documentary that just goes out into the Midwest and finds people.
Right. Well, we were talking, you know, right before we started rolling here about Jesco the Dancing Outlaw, and, you know, and our film Winnebago Man focuses on a sort of similarly eccentric character, but I wouldn't necessarily say that he's a quote-unquote normal person, you know. I think now with cell phone cameras and surveillance cameras and, you know, cheap digital editing technology, we're all subject or all certainly capable of being captured in a way that we're not comfortable with. But probably we would find that those videos that are captured of us are not even close to as entertaining as something like Winnebago Man or Star Wars Kid or these videos that really stick with us and are either cathartic or reminiscent of maybe our id, kind of our inner thoughts and feelings. So I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily say that he's a normal person. I think that he was, the way that I think about Jack Remney, the main character, is that he was sort of a celebrity waiting to be discovered. And it took this anomaly, this bizarre technological advance to actually make that happen for
him. Will he now become a celebrity? Does he want to do that?
You'll see when you see the film that there are some things that will prevent him from doing that. But I do think that in some way he has always been interested in having an audience, you know, or a group that he can influence in one way or another. And the kind of the amazing thing for me about this is that I'm a firm believer in that you get what you want, but it's just never in how you intend it. Especially if you work hard and you really focus on something, I believe you most times get that. But it always looks different than you think it's going to look, you know. And the strange thing about Jack in this particular case in our film is that he was somebody who was he did a lot of social commentary back in the 50s that went a little bit unheeded and unheard, but now this Winnebago Man clip has actually worked as a social commentary of sorts that have, you know, given millions of people something to think about, something to laugh with, something to deeply relate to.
You come upon someone that's seen it and you speak the same language. You just start quoting, "My mind is busy. This morning I'm blinded by this hot light.
I'm blinded by that fucking hot light."
Commercials are meant to be these picture perfect, pristine things.
Why can't I remember? I wrote this stuff. Why can't I remember it?
With everything being scripted and every composition being carefully composed, it's our chance to look behind the curtain.
It's a real moment, you know, like what you see on that tape is probably the worst day of this guy's life.
I think that it was quite startling for him to have that pointed out, and you, throughout the course of the film, go on that journey with him where he begins to realize that in some way.
And I presume when you embarked on this, you had no idea that the story would have this kind of depth.
No. I mean, I hope that it would, you know, and certainly I've made 6 other short documentaries before this one, and this is my first feature-length film, and every one of those has been the same, where you start off and you have a character and you have a good idea and here's the story and you think it's going to go one way and it goes a completely different direction, you know, and you sort of hope for the best, but always just, have to sort of stay loose and roll with whatever story presents itself.
Do you think if a documentary, I mean, you say that all the documentaries you've done have gone in that direction, do you think if you did turn up and here's the documentary that I want to make and you make it, maybe it would turn out to be an absolute flop? Everything turned out exactly how I expected. The character was there,
well,
and he said,
"I guess I think that that's for me certainly the magic of making documentaries is that you don't really know what's going to happen, and you can just have the best intentions." And it's this sounds so corny to say, I apologize in advance, but I think that a lot of things in life work like that. You know, you don't quite know the outcome, but you know that, you know, this is where I want to go, and this is where I think I can go, and I'm just going to push in that direction.
Because
usually it does.
Otherwise, you'd be bored making it, wouldn't you? I mean, you'd get halfway through it and you wouldn't have the energy because you'd just be ticking boxes. You're going, right, I got him to say that. Now I got him to say that. We need a shot of this. I mean, it is those, right. Must be those surprises that keep your sense of interest, as a filmmaker.
Certainly. I mean, and I think, you know, reality television works that way. You know, they don't set out and go, you know, let's, you know, it would be really great if we could find a bachelor and then maybe we could get all these women and let's see if we can, you know, if we can to have that happen quote unquote naturally. You know, they go out and they interview people and they go, okay, we need a, you know, 20-year-old woman who's in art school and we need a, you know, a guy that looks like this. And, you know, I mean, that's like documentary filmmaking by the number. And it's both a blessing and a curse because it's made documentary definitely, you know, a format that you can see certainly on television and more in theaters. And it's also given my friends who make documentaries jobs, you know, pretty steady day jobs. But at the same time, it's presenting a really skewed version of what documentaries are, I think.
Do you think people, because people are clearly wise up to the way that reality TV is made. They know that when they have that cutaway to the shot of the people looking angry, it was clearly not shot then and, you know, it was done to build drama. Do you think that then raises suspicion onto documentaries?
I think just at heart, I teach a film class at the University of Texas, and it's a beginning production course. And I think right off the bat, when you start making films, you just realize that everything is a construction. Anytime you take something out of order or you cut it up and then process it, then it becomes a subjective story based on what you think is the right order or the most dramatic storyline or whatever. And so I think all films do that, and that's a good thing. I mean, I feel like manipulation is sometimes mistaken for some kind of propaganda, but I just believe in storytelling. And I think that, you know, as long as you're telling a story that you really believe in and have something to say about and touches people in some way, that it's valid.
It must be great knowing that, having just made a documentary, that you've got a trailer out there that millions of people have already watched and are gagging to see a film. It's the best form of advertising you could ever
exactly.
have.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's sort of already, you know, I have a commercial production company in Austin, Texas, where I live, and people contact us all the time and say, we want to have a viral video commercial for our business, you know, and it's so hard to explain that, like, you can't, I mean, you can try and make something viral, but you sort of, I think people really know the difference between when something is sort of genuine and when something is manufactured in order to get hits, you know, and things that reek of any kind of preconceived notion like that fail, you know. And so we, you know, Jack, for whatever reason, is irresistible to people, and millions of people relate and want to watch him.
Well, we look forward to seeing the film, and good luck at the festival.
Great. Thank you very much. And if anybody has questions, you can go to winnebagoman.com and track our progress and keep up with us that way.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, guys.
This is about who you are and what your past experiences have been.
No.
And what you've learned.
Oh, well, like, sure. You want to talk about me?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm trying to talk about you.
Yeah.
And you're not letting me talk about you.
I don't.
Why not? That's what I'm asking you.
If you don't like it, pack up. Get the out.
Ben Steindl, the director of Winnebago Man there, and the film will be showing in the film festivals throughout New Zealand. After the break, we check out the art of Ivan Clarke.